You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
I went along to the infrastructure announcement on Wednesday at the Chapman Tripp offices. A bunch of journalists sat in a room together overlooking the viaduct for an hour with a package of announcements that make up the New Zealand Upgrade Program. There were a bunch of press releases from the corresponding ministers regarding schools, hospitals, rail, road and the environment. Those make up the core aspects of this infrastructure package that has been hailed as well overdue by many, too little too late by some, and has stolen ideas from the National Party by others. Reading through the press releases, I have to say, I had more questions after every page, and I do think that this announcement needs a lot of unpacking by lots of different people. What does seem to be clear, though, is that it is a start. The key parts of the announcement are as follows. For transport, $6.8 billion for transport infrastructure in our six main growth areas, Auckland, Waikato, Bay of Plenty, Wellington, Canterbury and Queenstown. $1.1 billion for rail, $2.2 billion for new roads in Auckland. For health, $300 million capital investment in health divided among four focus areas, child and maternal health, mental health and addiction, regional and rural service projects, upgrading and fixing ageing hospital facilities, contingency of $20 million is included in that as well. For the environment, in terms of decarbonising our public service buildings, up to $4.8 million for schools, up to $5.2 million to hospitals. And for schools, this announcement adds to the $400 million announced last year for upgrades to school buildings. All in all, 2,000 school communities receiving up to $400,000 each for building upgrades. At the end of the hour, we were joined by Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters, and Ministers Grant Robertson, James Shaw, Phil Twyford, and Shane Jones. Mayor Phil Goff was also there, along with a bunch of people from relevant industry sectors. The formalities kicked off with a mihi from Chapman Tripp before hearing from the Prime Minister.
He's announcing, as you've seen, the details of the major projects that make up the New Zealand Upgrade Program, the most significant investment in public infrastructure in a generation, designed to future-proof and grow our economy. The program looks at our infrastructure needs differently. It's a modern plan for our future. It asks not just what our infrastructure needs are today, but how we can future-proof them for tomorrow. How we can deliver traditional projects like roads and buildings in a way that reduces our emissions, that gives transport options to commuters, and that tackle climate change. It also is a program that addresses the realities we face. New Zealand has had underinvestment in the core public facilities we all use, and that has happened for too long. Our schools and hospitals have been run down, or they don't have the full range of facilities they should, be it a new school library or a neonatal unit. There is unmet need across the country, and this program aims to fix that.
First up, to understand how the government is going to pay for it all, Finance Minister Grant Robertson took to the stage.
This is the right time to do this work. Not only are there important projects to be done, but the economy is in good shape. When we compare ourselves to the rest of the developed world, we are forecast to do better than virtually all of the countries that we trade with, and even in this year that we've had in 2019, or better than all but one of those countries. So the time is right for us. We've also managed to carefully manage the government's accounts over the last 2 years. Debt is under control, and we've run $13 billion worth of surpluses. When we came into office, we inherited net core crown debt of 22.7%. We have reduced that to just under 20% over these 2 years. When we fully roll out this package that we are announcing today, net core crown debt will peak at 21.5%. We have the room to do this because we have managed the books carefully. Borrowing costs are also near historic lows, around 1.5% for 10 years. It makes sense to take advantage of this and invest in infrastructure to boost our economy. The $12 billion New Zealand Upgrade Program will boost growth and create a significant number of jobs. Even in just the first year, NZTA estimate for their projects, we're talking about up to 1,000 jobs and then between 7,000 and 9,000 jobs in the wider supply chain, and that's just in the first year alone.
We also heard from the Deputy Prime Minister, who took the opportunity to make some digs at the former government and the current opposition leader.
You see, the last 3 decades, though, has seen appalling neglect of our rail system in New Zealand. And prior to this government coming to power in 2017, a malignant, derelict, brainless policy of deliberately running railways down was followed to sabotage a key infrastructural asset in this country. And too many just stood aside and let it happen. Didn't get up, didn't respond, didn't provide any leadership in saying this cannot be good for our long-term future. We remember who the Minister of Transport was back then because he's the National Party's current leader, quoted in today's papers as saying, "What I'll say, I'll do, I'll do." The sad thing about that statement is that, as you know, and you journalists all know, it's bovine scatology when it comes to the issue of transport and infrastructure. Mr. Bridges, let me put you out this question to you. How many dollars did you set aside for the four-lane highway from Whangarei to Marsden Point? Or, for that matter, from Whangarei to connect with Warkworth? How many dollars were set aside? How many dollars were set aside for the four-lane highway going north of Tauranga past Omokaroa? Again, in advertisements on the side of the road that we've all seen and barely one journalist has commented on. That's why I moved to have to respond this morning. The answer is, as every journalist here knows, not 1 cent. And the finance also, with respect to the project that the National Party started between Puhoi to Warkworth, a four-lane highway, how many years has that taken? Well, 12 years on that basis, all the way to Whangarei will be 68 more years. I don't know how you feel about that. I don't see many around here to be able to see the end of that project unless we do what we're doing now under this government and dramatically changing the settings and the investment. In short, what I'm saying is go talk flim-flam somewhere else, but this coalition government has realised what needs to be done. And since coming to office, we've already allocated more than $2.8 billion for rail. Through budget 2019, we began investing in a national freight rail network with over $1 billion in funding, $741 million of which is the first phase of restoring a reliable, resilient and safe freight and tourism network. Today, we're pleased to announce that this government is investing a further $1.14 billion to expand on these investments through four much-needed rail projects.
Following Peters was Minister for the Environment, James Shaw.
You've already heard that through the investment package the government's announcing today, we're supporting cleaner ways for people to get around. This hasn't been widely advertised, but today's upgrade actually builds more kilometres of cycleways than it does even for roads. The billions of dollars that the government is investing in rail and in and between our cities will pave the way for a congestion-free, multimodal transport network across the entire country. We've also decided the first group of projects to be supported by our $200 million Clean Powered Public Service Fund. 8 schools and 2 hospitals will be upgraded to run on clean energy instead of the coal boilers that in some cases are 70 years old. Now that just represents $10 million of the $200 million in total under the Clean Powered Public Service Fund. That means that our loved ones will have access to the care and support that they need, but in hospitals that are powered by clean, climate-friendly, renewable energy. On top of that, current and future generations of kids at a range of schools will now be kept warm during some of the most formative years of their lives by clean energy rather than by coal.
Following the formalities, we had a chance to push through the crowds to speak to ministers individually. Firstly, James Shaw. Along with the announcements around decarbonising schools and hospitals, Minister James Shaw also announced that the Sky Path will be a thing. In the press release, it was stated that Aucklanders will finally get the ability to walk and cycle from the North Shore. And I was wondering who actually had been waiting for that.
I just want to know about the Sky Path.
Yes.
So what do you have any numbers on that in terms of, in the announcement it sort of says that there are people waiting for this. How are you expecting it to look in terms of how many people are going to use that every morning?
Oh, right, sorry. So I don't have that. I know that there have been successive business cases that have been put together on Sky Path over the last several years, which do indicate that there's going to be very strong usage. And generally, those business cases often undercook it. And so I think what we've experienced in other cities that have had projects like this, I lived in London for 12 years and saw a number of those kinds of things, is that very quickly demand exceeded supply. And so so I anticipate it'll be very well used.
Because, and that's the thing, right, if we don't have it, it's not going to get used, and if we do have it, it will get used.
Yes.
So
yes.
The same with what you said about there's going to be more kilometres of cycleways than roads.
Yeah, I think...
What does that look like?
Well, so there's approximately 100 kilometres worth of cycleways that are funded through today's package, and I think 94 or 96 kilometres worth of roading. It's just that cycleways are cheaper to build, and so again the experience overseas is that when you build that infrastructure, when it's continuous and when it's safe, you see a dramatic shift in people who start to use bikes to get around cities.
There was a mention too about there being, you know, they're going to build these roads but they might be multi-use, I suppose, or not just for cars. Is there anything you can say about that, or should I speak to
you? Well, so every project has got to go through business case development and get signed off subsequently at cabinet level and so on. So the idea is that, where it's appropriate, where we can, we'll make sure that those projects have got bus lanes or, carpooling lanes and so on, as well as cycle lanes along the side and so on. But that's a project by project thing, so I can't comment on any one project about how that'll look.
Do you wish that there was some more money for the environment in this?
Oh, look, I think, you know, it's no secret that if the Green Party was writing this package by ourselves, we would prioritise a different mix. But, you know, there's almost $2 billion of this package that's been announced today that is going on green transport and on the Clean Powered Public Service package. So we're really delighted with that. And there are projects like SkyPath that have been languishing for a very long time that we're finally going to see come through this package, so we're really pleased about that.
Then I came across Phil Twyford.
There's lots of allusions to things making it work better for the port. Mm. So is that kind of been considered in terms of whether there is a moving the Port of Auckland up north, perhaps?
No, I mean,
none of that was considered in this.
Well, there's a whole stream of work that's underway, building on the work that was done by the Upper North Island Supply Chain Study that came out before Christmas. We've commissioned some extra policy work to really dot the I's and cross the T's on that work over the next few months, and that will come to Cabinet mid-year.
Okay, so there's still got to be work done in terms of actually figuring out whether it will work.
It's absolutely a work in progress, and we're committed to working that through and taking a proposal to Cabinet mid-year.
Okay. Yeah. Can you answer? I was actually expecting more in this around passenger rail throughout the country. Is that something that you can respond to?
Well, there's a $1.1 billion rail component to this that is passenger rail. So it's a big part of the Auckland package is electrification to Pukekohe and two new railway stations at Drury. And and the third main, which runs between down here and Wirree, where the inland port is, and that's designed to free up the network capacity.
Is that in terms of trying to connect the whole country, though? Is that?
Well, we've also, as well as investing in Auckland.
Just as I was hopefully going to get an answer to my question, Twyford was taken away, so I had to put the same question to Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters.
Okay.
Minister,
one last question.
You talked about New Zealand being behind the rest of the world in terms of rail. When can we expect to see the rest of the country being connected with passenger rail?
Well, that's not strictly the plan announced today, but as soon as we get much of our railway and utility restored, such as the North to Whangarei, the tunnels lowered, and the railways fixed up properly, you're going to see in between those two, Whangarei and Auckland, a serious passenger rail service.
So is that an aspiration of this government?
No, it's a rich promise. That's what we're doing it for.
When will we see the completion of all of these rail projects?
The completion? Well, they're ongoing. They're going to be completely updated. We're not just stopping at Whangarei, it's going to go north further towards Kawakau and onwards. There's a lot we're going to do, and we are going to ensure we have a re-look at the Gisborne to Wairoa line, which for 6.5 million was let go by the National Party, and here we've got this absolute impasse at a time when trucks cannot be the future option out of Gisborne either. So it's going to take some time, but here's the fact, we're starting now and not wasting any time in getting these plans going.
It was also pointed out that these were initially National Party ideas.
When
given we know National's going to say that they did fund these projects, they're going to push back.
Well, you're
going to
be, but hang on, you're going to be really smart now, aren't you? You're going to say, okay, where was your funding for the Whangarei to Marsden Point or Whangarei to Warkworth four-lane highway? Where was your funding for the Mocha Railroad north of Tauranga? Now, you're going to ask them that, aren't you? Because they won't be able to point to one thing other than a press statement made late in 2017 saying, we're going to do this sometime in the next 10 years, and they never assigned $1 to it. I'm expecting you people to hold them to account rather than to have Mr. Bridges getting away with the bovine scatology that's been his prison argument on so many issues.
There's still National Party ideas, though, aren't they? There's still National Party roads.
What on earth are you talking about? An idea that's not backed with money is just flim-flam, as I pointed out to you. We're the difference. We're saying here it's coming and it's funded now.
Given the country's infrastructure is 30 or 40 years behind, isn't this just playing a really slow catch-up?
Well, you've got it right and half right. It's got a really fast catch-up. But I've just noticed and was talking to the head of NZTA that, you know, for many years in my political life, for every $2 collected for road upgrade and road safety, less than $1 went to that. The rest went to the consolidated account. We were robbed by that past generation, and now we've got to make it all up real fast. But that's the difference between this government and the former one. We recognise the facts and we're doing something about it.
$5.3 billion on roads versus $1.1 billion on rail. Would you have liked to have seen more go into rail?
Well, you've got to remember what we committed last year as well. So, you know, we're not going to be short in that sense, but we've got to make sure that when we make commitments, we've got the working utility in terms of the workforce and the companies able to do the job as fast as possible.
Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern was questioned on whether it's actually possible to make these happen.
Are people going to see spades in the ground? Are they going to see these projects getting underway?
So NZTA in particular have said within the first year, they believe five projects are likely to be moving along. And so those are the first five cab off the rank. But of course, this is about building a long-term plan for New Zealand, making sure that we get freight off our roads, making sure that we're preparing for environmental challenges like climate change, making sure our hospitals and schools are what people deserve.
But is it the case that there is the workforce there to actually do that and to get that underway?
A good question. We've been planning for 2 years as a government to make sure that we have the skills needed to rebuild our infrastructure. So that's included everything from increasing the Gateway program, our Trades Academy places, vocational excellence awards, and fees-free, people in apprenticeships not paying for 2 years of their study. It's all about building the capacity in New Zealand for us to be able to make this kind of investment in our infrastructure.
But MB's
already said somewhere in the order of, I believe, 11,000 additional people have gone into our construction workforce. And of course, remember, the industry has called for these projects. They've asked for the certainty. We're delivering that. That will help them build their workforce.
That still leaves a shortage of about 20,000 workers. Do you need to go overseas? How are you going to get those people?
Again,
you
know, I think the significant signal is that the construction industry themselves have asked for these projects. We're delivering them. That allows them to build their planning and their workforce.
So is there an expectation then that the industry is going to step up to the plate in terms of training
absolutely.
And building some of that capacity?
Absolutely. Part of what we've done as a government is already form a partnership with the industry. We have an accord around what we'll do to try and help build the workforce and what they'll do. Now's their chance, now that we're delivering these projects, for them to really step up to the plate.
How pointed lines in all of your releases about no funding for these projects, even though they've been planned by National, can you prove that there was no money as stated for any of these projects?
In fact, you can find it yourself. You just need to look at the budget.
I know they're going to dispute it and say that it was in their budgets and in their plans.
The accounts are there for all to see.
Finally, roads getting the most money was put into the spotlight a lot, and Minister for the Environment had to answer to that.
Greenpeace has come out of the blocks pretty quickly. In fact, some of the first reaction to come out. How do you deal with that kind of response from effectively your base?
Yeah, look, I mean, the thing is that the more cars we have on our roads, particularly before we make the switch to electric vehicles, the more difficult it is to live within our emissions profile that we've committed ourselves to as a government. But we do have a significant program in multimodal switching, and we also are investing pretty heavily in trying to help make that shift towards electric vehicles and so on. There is a congestion issue that this package helps to deal with through things like ensuring that we're getting people off the roads and into rail, taking some of the freight off our roads and onto rail as well.
Are you worried it's going to come back and bite you on the election campaign?
No, I think, if you look at the scale of what we're investing here in cycleways, in walking infrastructure, in heavy rail, in light rail, right around the country, and in some of our most congested cities, I think that this upgrade is the most significant upgrade in public transport infrastructure in the time that I've been alive.
Do you think there's a possibility that electric vehicles will ruin the opportunity to manage congestion?
Yes, that is an issue, right? And I think people often conflate congestion with climate change issues. Ultimately, if you have more roads, more traffic on the roads, then you have a congestion problem, even if all of those vehicles are electric and are zero emission.
So how do you then combat that? Do you need to have smart cities? Do you have to have greater automation to get better?
Yes, you do. And
then how do you push to support that kind of policy?
Well, we are. Through this package, like I keep saying, there's $1.1 billion worth that's going into rail here. The roads are being rescoped to include, mass transit options. We know that the rail link, particularly in South Auckland, where you've got the motorway network is completely congested there, will lead to mode shift there. I think what we're doing here, it's a first step, right?
A lot more questions were asked, of course, and I think a lot more explanations will be made as time goes on. A point to remember, only $8 billion was announced on this day. There's 4 more billion to administer, and that will happen during the budget announcements in May. I look forward to unpacking this further until then. Lillian Hanley TNA for 95BFM News.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.